I thank you so much for bringing everyone here safely tonight.
I pray that you would please just fill me with your spirit and your power, dear God. Help me to teach the truth and love tonight, and I pray that you would please just give us all soft hearts to receive the message that's prepared tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he gives a lot of lists of different times when we should be, you know, there's a time for everything. He gives all these different times. And what I want to preach about tonight is this question of, is there ever a time when as a Christian you should hate? Because it seems to be a very common theme in the world today that Christians should never hate. And as we see here, if you look down at verse number 8, the Bible says very clear, it says there's a time to love and a time to hate. So we're going to go over today. I mean, I'm sure you've heard a lot of sermons about a time to love, and loving is great. But tonight I'm not going to focus on that. We're going to focus on you know, when is a proper time to hate, and what types of things should we hate. And I'm kind of going to deal a lot with that tonight. So first I'm going to run down a few lists here. You could go ahead and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 26. The Bible talks a lot, actually, about hate and hatred. And when I was doing a study on this about how often the word appears, it appears over and over and over again. And there's a lot of synonyms for the word hate. There's hate, abhor, you know, loathe, and there's all different variations of that, contemn. And the Bible talks a great deal about hatred. And there's all different types of, you know, people who do different hating and things like that. But I'm going to run down this list of positive types of hatred, I guess you can say. And in Psalm 97:10, the Bible reads, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." So there's a lot of commands for us to hate. And I'm going to run down a few of these. So this one's saying to hate evil, right? Psalm 101, verse 3 says, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Psalm 119, 104, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Psalm 119, 113, "I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love." Therefore, Psalm 119, 128, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Psalm 119, 163, "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. A righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame." That was Proverbs 13:5. And Amos 5:15, "Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph." So right here in that list, and you know, again, I'm condensing a lot of stuff today. We're going to read a lot of Bible, but I'm really condensing down a lot because it just talks about this subject so much. It refers to a lot of different things here. You know, the evil way, to hate pride, to hate arrogancy, to hate vain thoughts, right? And these are all things that probably the world today could agree with that and say, yeah, those are probably things that we should hate. And those could probably fall under this phrase that people use, you know, hate the sin, love the sinner. But that's a false doctrine, okay? That's being taught today that all you have to do is just hate the sin, but love the sinner. And in every lie, there's a little bit of truth, right? I mean, well, when we get into this, you're going to see, I'm not just saying to hate everybody, right? There's a very specific, you know, key things that we have to understand about hate and who God wants us to hate and who He doesn't want us to hate. Should we just hate every sinner? No, of course not. We love sinners. That's why we go out and preach to bring the gospel to them so that they could get saved. And we know that we're not perfect and we have sin. Okay? But just saying to hate the sin is not enough. I mean, there's times when we do have to hate. Are you in the book of Psalms? I have you turn to chapter 26. Look at verse 5. It says, "I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked." So there, it's not just mentioning a sin. It's, "I've hated the congregation of evildoers," not just the evil that people have done in the congregation. because I've hated the congregation of evildoers. Flip over to chapter 31 and verse 6. It says, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. And we heard this morning in Psalm 15, if you were here, we were reading Psalm 15 about being steadfast and unmovable. It says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. And we said, you know, I said it earlier, that word contemned means hated, right? It's contempt. You have contempt for someone. So that was teaching that a vile person is contemned in your eyes. Not just what they do, but the person himself. And then in Psalm 139, verses 21 and 22, the Bible says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. So very explicitly, in these verses that we just read, the Bible's saying, you know, it's talking about hating people. Okay? But who should we hate? Because we've heard, I'm sure everybody's familiar. And I'm going to read something. Let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. You know, a lot of people will say, well, hey, Jesus taught that we're not supposed to hate. And this is going to be the biggest argument coming from. And it's in a sense, they're true. But we're going to read this and get the full context and understand what it's talking about. Because I'll tell you what, God's Word does not contradict itself. Okay, something that was true as far as just pure truth coming from the Bible in the Old Testament is still true today. Now, the only things that changed were minor, you know, variations of how we worship and how the church is run as far as not doing the sacrifices and those types of things. But things that were right and wrong back in the Old Testament are still right and wrong today. And when we read all these verses about, you know, hating people, we're going to get a much better understanding tonight about what that means and what that's talking about. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, the Bible reads, ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, you might say, oh, see right there, Jesus is changing it and saying, well, before that's what you used to do, but now I'm saying to love your enemies. But here's the key difference, is that it's saying to love your enemies. And there's a big difference between my enemy and God's enemy. Yeah. Okay, there's a big difference. We've got to understand that, because someone who does wrong to me, or maybe someone who's an adversary to me, maybe there's someone on the job that doesn't like me, they could be considered my enemy, right? And I could get attacks from different people. Those types of people, yeah, I don't need to hate those people, okay, just because they're attacking me. But when we see over and over again, like we saw in Psalm 15:4, it says, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. A vile person is someone who hates God and you know, is doing vile things, a reprobate, people who have completely rejected God. And they've become God's enemies. And, you know, Luke 6 says the same thing, basically. It's a reiteration of what we read in Matthew chapter 5 about Jesus Christ saying, love your neighbor and hate thine enemy. And here in context, too, what you should be getting is that when he's saying not to hate your enemy but to love them, he's comparing that to, well, yeah, don't the publicans the same? It's just basically he's saying when people treat you good, of course you're going to treat them good. But when people treat you bad, when they hate you, when they're your enemy, you should still treat them well. As a Christian, that's what you ought to do. You shouldn't just return back and say, oh, well, if you're not going to do anything for me, then I'm not going to do anything for you. You know, the Bible says that that the Lord is the judge. He's going to recompense. He's going to repay. So if someone wrongs you, you don't have to worry about getting back at them, because he's going to judge that person. And we could just, you know, we could love our enemies. And the Bible says, and in so doing, you know, we could heap piles of coals on their heads when we pray for them and just try to do nice things for them. And we're going to get into a little bit later about the actual type of person we should hate. But here's some verses now that deal where God actually does some hating. In Proverbs chapter 6, the Bible, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to blow through a lot of these. We have a lot of Bible covers, there's so much on this. The Bible says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. So God's already saying there's a lot of things that he hates that are an abomination unto him. Pride, a lying tongue, and you'll see over and over again that these are recurring themes. Pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, and a false witness that speaketh lies. He mentions lying twice. So, take that to heart too, because when God's saying that there are multiple things, there are six things that the Lord hates, seven are an abomination. Take that to heart because he mentioned lying twice. And he calls that an abomination. God really hates lying. Jesus Christ is the truth. Amen. And if you have Christ in you, you shouldn't be speaking lies. You should be speaking the truth. And Isaiah 61:8 says, "For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them." And we're going to see here too, God hates idolatry and false gods. In Jeremiah 44:4, the Bible reads, "Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods." Amos 5:21 says, "I hate, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies." Amos 6:8, "The Lord God hath sworn by himself, saith the Lord, the God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob, and hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein." Zechariah 8:17, "And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord." God has a lot of hate in his heart. God's not just all love. God is love. And that is very true. God is very loving. But in that love, he also has a hatred. And you can't have one without the other. Okay, if God was just completely loving and he loved everybody, then how could hell exist? There is absolutely no way. The flames of hell are sparked through God's wrath and his anger. That anger, it's real. There's hatred. And people need to understand this. And this is why it's very damaging to just say, hate the sin, love the sinner, God's just all love, God doesn't hate everybody, we're all just children of God, and God loves us all. That's very damaging because people then aren't going to be able to understand the reality of hell and the consequences of not getting saved. That, no, it is real. It is a place where God hates people and he's going to punish them forever. And that's a very intense hatred. Think about torturing and tormenting people just everlasting, forever and ever and ever. Now, thankfully, if you're saved, you get the exact opposite of that. The exact opposite of that hatred. Complete polar opposites. You get that love of God forever and ever and ever, an everlasting love. And that's a beautiful thing, but you couldn't have that everlasting love without having that everlasting hate on the other hand. It's a false doctrine to say that God loves everybody. Now, at one point, I believe it's true. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." God, at one point, has loved everybody. Every soul that has been created, at one point, God has loved. But see, God does not continue to love that person all the way up until they die in every single case. In Hosea 9:15, the Bible reads, "All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more." So does it sound like God's loving them in that verse? I mean, very clear. It says, "I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters." Malachi 1:2, it says, "I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau. And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness." Psalm 11:5 says, "The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth." Again, it's not just talking about the sin. It says the wicked and him that loveth violence. So the people that love to do violence, the wicked people, that just enjoy being violent to people and violating people, God hates those people. Amen. Okay, and that, again, this is not your average sinner. This is not your average person. Your average person that you meet on the street, your average lost person, they don't just love doing violence to people. That's not something that they just really enjoy. Most normal people don't enjoy that kind of thing. They don't even like being involved in it or witnessing it. But God's saying he hates those people. Psalm 5:5, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. And then go ahead and turn to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus chapter 20. I'm going to read this. In Leviticus 26, God's going over all of his promises and cursings. And he says here, you know, basically if the people continue to not obey, he's saying, look, if you don't obey me, I'm going to do this curse. If you don't obey me, I'm going to do this. If you don't obey, I'm going to do this. And if they just continue to be stiff-necked and just disregard God's word, disregard his commands, he says in verse 30 of chapter 26, and I will destroy your high places and cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idol, and my soul shall abhor you. Now you're in Leviticus chapter 20. So who here thinks that God changes? Does God ever change?
No.
No. God stays the same, right? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. God does not change. He's not changed his word. He's not changed his attitude on sin. He's not changed on anything. And just to kind of bring this point home, again, I know we're reading a lot of Bible, but try to stick with me here and pay attention, because it's really important that we just read through this and just get this hammered down, that God said this a long time ago, okay? And as I alluded to earlier again this morning, that our country is becoming more and more wicked, and it's becoming a God-hating country. Okay? These things, God does not change. These things we're going to read here in Leviticus chapter 20 are still going to apply today. Let's start reading verse number 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man, and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. Now, does anyone here think that God's still going to be angry if you sacrifice your child unto a false god? I think that's still in effect today. I don't think that's something that God's going to look the other way on. Now, is that specifically mentioned in the New Testament? I don't think so, but you know what? It still is an effect. It's still a sin. It's still something that God hates and it's abomination. Look at verse 4. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. Again, wizards, familiar spirits, holds true today, right? And you know, so far, there's probably not going to be very much argument about this. People are going to say, oh yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing that either. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, sanctify yourselves therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Now I'm going to park it here because you don't hear this very often. And actually, you're going to hear the atheists and the people who hate God try to attack your faith because they're going to bring up a verse like this and say, oh, well, do you believe that? You should put a child to death because and they'll usually say something that's not true because they disobey you or something like that. They always get the Bible wrong. Yeah. But the Bible's saying here, look, this is a sin, and this is a major sin to God if your children curse you. You know, if your child was to tell you like to go to hell or something along those lines, that's a cursing. That is not a blessing. It's the exact opposite. If your child is to not have that type of respect for you, God said that they should be put to death. And he was very serious about that. And that's something we've lost in our culture, is the respect that the father and mother have in the household.
Right.
That it seems like, you know, because we're falling under the curse of God, children are going to rule over us. And they're going to have no respect for their elders. They're going to have no respect for their parents. But God puts a very strong emphasis on this because he's God the Father, and we ought to have that type of reverence for him. Okay? And he deals with this very severely, which is again why he says, I believe also, that if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, that's an unforgivable sin. That's when people become reprobate. When they blaspheme the Holy Ghost and say that Jesus hath a devil, I think that's strongly tied in with what the Bible's teaching here about, you know, a father or a child. It's not exactly the same thing, but a child, you know, cursing your father or mother, that's a very strong punishment. That still would be in effect, should be effect today. And that's something that we as Christians should take very seriously. And that is not just gone by the wayside. And I'm not saying to just take the matter in your own hand and just like kill your old children or something. But, I mean, this is the law that we ought to have today. And we're going to keep reading here. Look at verse number 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Again, today's culture is going to say, oh, it's an affair. Oh, it's no big deal. You see it, Hollywood's pumping it out. You know, Satan has his agenda to just push all this stuff down your throat and to destroy the family and to make you think that these things aren't a big deal. Because most people aren't even reading their Bible. They're not reading the book of Leviticus. They're not understanding the importance of this. That if you commit adultery, that's worthy of a death penalty. In God's eyes, that's the death penalty. Look at verse 11. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Now, does anyone think that God has changed in the way he feels about any of these things so far? Because the world's going to tell you that he has. The world's going to tell you that God likes the sodomites. And he wants you to love them. But I'll tell you what, that's false. If we read this today, and again, this is something that the world's going to say that, and this is why I bring this up. Satan is pushing a hate speech agenda. And today, if you're to say something negative, I mean, think about the one thing. What's that one topic, if you talk about it, you're going to get labeled as someone who does hate speech. It's the sodomites, right? I mean, you can talk about all kinds of other things, and that you might not get labeled as someone, oh, you just preach hate. That's hate speech. And they're going to say, oh, you think that a homosexual or queer should be put to death? You think that we should be stoned? That's hateful. Well, I'll tell you what, that's what God said.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says in Leviticus chapter 20. I didn't make that up. This isn't coming from my own heart. This is something that God has commanded. Okay, this is something that a righteous society would implement. This is something that ought to be done. That is not hate. That's God's law. Let's continue reading, though. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast, and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, or his father's or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. And they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness. He shall bear his iniquity. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood. And both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister. For he uncovereth his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, is an unclean thing, he hath uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. These things all need to be read and studied and applied today. They are, God still views them as abominations. And look at what happens as the result. keep reading here. We'll get to verse 22. You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you. For they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. So because of all of these things that we just read, this entire list, it says that the nations that God kicked out before him, they committed every single one of those things. Which is pretty disgusting, because we read some pretty disturbing stuff in that list. He said that he abhorred that nation, and he wiped them out. He abhorred them so much, he commanded the children of Israel to slaughter them and leave none of them left alive. That's a pretty severe punishment. I mean, the children, the oxen, everything, just level it to the ground. Because they had done all of these things. Now, in these lists, where do you think the U.S. is today? Where do you think America is standing in this list? There are very few things that are undone in this list. Let alone, I mean, most of these things are being promoted. Yep. Adultery is being promoted. Sodomy is being promoted. God has the death penalty on those sins. Those are some of the worst sins that you can do. And our country is out just saying, hey, this is fine. There's no problem with this. God is going to abhor this country. He already does. I guarantee you he does. The works and the wickedness that's coming out of this country. And that's why I was saying this morning, the judgment is going to come. God doesn't change. And he's going to try to label those of us who try to stand for his word as those that preach hate. And that's why I think it's important that we have an understanding of hate itself and how the Bible terms hate and how hate is used. Because if you preach this, you're going to be called someone who preaches hate, that you use hate speech. And I laugh at the hypocrisy of the people that like to say that you're preaching hate, that you use hate speech. Because it's only hate speech if it's something about they don't like. If you're all in favor, if you're all for murdering babies, you know, that's not hate speech. But if you were to say, no, abortion's murder, God says it's murder, you can't kill little innocent children, well, that could be hate speech to them because they hate the truth. Because they hate God. People become so reprobate into thinking that all of this sin is okay and that the worst sins imaginable, no big deal. They hate God's law. They hate God. And it's never hate speech when they like to down Christianity and down the Bible. That's not hate speech. And they'll use some pretty colorful language too. You know, it's the people that try to tell you that you use hate speech. You'll hear a few names called that that are very interesting, and you think, "Wow, what a loving person!" Right? I'm the hateful one, but you know they're loving as they condemn God and the Bible. I'll tell you what, the hate speech that I hate is these bunch of God haters that blaspheme God all day long, and they use His name in vain continually. They toss around the name of the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who bought us with His precious blood and bought them with His precious blood and paid for all their sins. They'll use His name all day long, right? Hey, if you hate Him so much, why do you keep using His name? Why do you keep blaspheming? A lot of people think that preaching against sin is hateful. Go ahead and turn, you're in the book of Leviticus already. Turn to chapter 19. It's a page over. A lot of people think that this type of preaching or preaching against sin is hateful. And a lot of people have labeled this church as, oh, it's a hateful church. But it's not. It's a church that preaches the truth and preaches the whole Bible.
Amen.
Okay? It's important for us to know these commandments so that we don't do them and we could, you know, teach others this is the truth of God's Word. Look at verse 17 of chapter 19 in Leviticus. It says, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. So God's telling us not to hate our brother. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. So in not hating somebody comes rebuking so that you don't suffer them. You don't allow them to get into sin. Explaining to them, you know, what sin is in God's word, that is love. Okay, when you teach the commandments of the Bible and say, hey, God thinks that sodomy is so wicked that he put the death penalty on it. And you know what the death penalty was in the Old Testament that God instituted? It was stoning people with stones. That's not an easy way for someone to die. That's a very brutal way. And I think that just emphasizes the disgust that God has for it and how much it's going to stick with you. And it wasn't just one executioner that did it. It was the congregation. I mean, the people were the ones who carried out the judgment. And if you have that proper hatred of this wickedness, then you would be able to participate in God's commandment to be able to follow out and execute that judgment that needed to be executed when it's gone through its proper course. But if you don't have that proper hatred in your heart against these things that God hates and against what God has taught us to hate against, then you're going to have a problem with that. And that's where a lot of people get soft on sin, because they don't have a proper hatred in their heart for sin. This wickedness, when you don't see it through God's eyes and how God explains it to us here, it's easy to say it's not that big of a deal. But we need to view it through God's eyes, and just it'll help to keep yourself away from this stuff and distance yourself and be holy and be separate and come out from among the people. And also to you know, to be able to teach that just the truth from the Bible now. I think that, you know, turn to Proverbs chapter 13 real quick. I'm almost done. I'm going to wrap up here real soon. Proverbs chapter 13. Because it's the same people that'll say you're real hateful are usually the ones that hate their own children. And if you look at Proverbs 13 verse 24, the Bible says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The real person that hates is the one that doesn't spank their children. The Bible says right here, if you spare your rod, you hate your son. And again, that's not my words. It seems like pretty strong language to me. It seems like it's something that God feels very strongly about there. He says, you hate your son. I know a lot of people would say, I don't hate my son. Are you spanking them? Are you chasing them? Are you chasing them early? Teaching them the right way? If you don't, they're not going to have that proper respect. I'll tell you what, the kids that are getting spanked aren't going to be the ones cursing their father and mother. Amen. And we know what God put the punishment is on that. They're not going to be the ones smiting their parents. They're going to have the proper respect. Now we see, last of all, Jesus was hated in John chapter 7. You have to turn there. The Bible said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Jesus was hated because he preached the truth. The world is just full of unrighteousness and wickedness. Jesus brought the light of the truth, and the darkness hates the light. And he was hated. If you're going to stand for the truth and preach the truth, you're going to be hated as well by the world. The Bible says in John 15, it says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. If you're living a righteous life, if you hate evil, if you hate the wickedness and sin that's going on in this world, you're going to be hated by the world. It's as simple as that. You can expect it, but Jesus was hated. Okay, you're in good company. Jesus Christ, who bled and died for us. And again, you know, if you're here this morning, we talked about having God at your right hand, right? God helping you abide through. Jesus was hated. He's someone that could provide you a lot of comfort through this time, and you could take solace in the fact that, hey, this is the truth, and it's what God told us to do. So let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity. I pray that this is the message is taken for how it's meant to be, dear God. Help us to get a proper perspective on sin. A lot of times we're attacked so often, so frequently by the world, and trying to downplay sin, trying to make adultery look like it's not a big deal, dear God. And I want this to just counteract a lot of the attacks that are coming in on your laws and your commandments, dear God. Help us to get the proper view of these things and how you view them and the hatred that you have for these things that would never even come into your heart, dear God. Help us all to have the proper love in our hearts and to love our enemies and to do good. But Lord, also help us to have the proper hatred of those that hate you, the filthy, vile reprobates that are just trying to destroy your word and to destroy your work, dear God. Let us not allow them, give them an inch, but help us to just preach the truth. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's turn to one last song before we leave tonight. Song number 12, right near the front of your songbooks.